Hey family, I am an addict, and my name is Rama. Thank you, James. Thank you, Phil. Thanks to CPRC. This is my 15th convention at Ocean City, right? And I can remember sitting there with the glimmer of hope when I would see the speaker. And I said, one day that's going to be me. And I got some people in this room right now that stayed up long enough with me that remember when I said, one day that's going to be me.
That's right.
And now that I'm here, right, I know that I got to take a step back. I got to let the God of my understanding take control. Because where I'm at today, when I said that's going to be me, it wasn't what it is today. Like, surviving your feelings, victim or volunteer. Before I even go there, right, I need to read a piece of our literature that becomes my hope. Because when I got here, I didn't think I could stay here. See, let me just read it and then I'll get to it. On the back of how it works, it says, this sounds like a big order. And we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There's one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. And three of these that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we're well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society and everyday living, just that much faster that we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take that first drug. If you're like us, you know that one is too many and a thousand is never enough. We put great emphasis on this, for we know that when we use drugs in any form, or to substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking of alcohol as different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. Before we came to NA, many of us view alcohol separately, but we cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is a drug. We are people with the disease of addiction who must abstain from all drugs in order to recover. Once again, hey family, I'm an addict and my name is Ronald.
Hey, Ronald.
I'm excited to be here once again. This is year 30, my 15th convention, and on April 25th, this year, I'll celebrate my 10th year. I'm super soaked, right? But I need to tell y'all right where I'm at this moment. See, my sponsor, when I got here, wanted me to understand the disease of addiction real clearly. So he asked me some questions like this. Did the disease whip your ass? Did it take some shit from you? Do you want some things back? I said, hell yeah. He said, why the fuck you don't want to recover? Excuse my language, that's probably the only time that you'll hear it come out like that. But at that point, I ain't have time to wait for the steps. I immediately said, let's get to work. See, he broke it down like this because I ain't understand how it works. He said, get in the mirror and tell yourself the truth. That's honesty. He said, then open your mind that maybe there's another way and be willing to do something different. Y'all, my clean date is April 22nd, 2006. That'll be next Friday. I always come to this convention and say, why can't they have it after the 22nd? Every time we get to clean town countdown, I gotta stand a year behind. Because my sponsor taught me something like this, like, I'm not really trying to catch up. I just need to catch on. So at this moment, I'm going to apologize to some people I'm going to offend with where I go and what my story brings me, but it's my experience, strength, and hope. See, I got here and I was broke down because I was 17 years old the first time I graced Narcotics Anonymous. And I thought for some reason I was different. I felt like when they read what is the Narcotics Anonymous program and it said regardless of age, hold on, I'm 17. I ain't even the legal age yet. I mean, I need to drink. They said regardless of race, well, I came up in the Richmond area and at that time, there wasn't too many African Americans there. And then they said sexual identity, and I was like, oh, this place ain't for me. They said religion, and I was like, that punishing God, oh my God. Or lack of religion. See, I was missing some things that was very simple in this. I had a disease that knew how to manipulate the way I felt. And when it whipped me to submission in 2006, the only feeling I could feel was numb. I came in the rooms and when you were asking how I felt, I would give you a whole situation and I would hold you hostage until I got finished. I had to tell you from beginning to end exactly what happened. And then you might point out some feelings. And I say, maybe. There were some people here that would love me in spite of me. I'm talking about in 1992 when I came, I was only 17, so my mother would bring me to meetings. And when I stopped going to meetings and I went back out, my mom went to the meetings to find the people. And she said, can you please help my son? I'm talking about that hopeless feeling where I felt like I ain't belonging here. I knew I ain't belong out there, but I was willing to accept and settle for less. See, I came from a very good place and I didn't know how blessed I was because I listened to some people and I thought I was less than. See, my mom and my dad, my mom was an alcoholic and my dad was an addict. They got together, made a love child, and there I was. My mom decided she needed a drink. She got up out the hospital and left me. My dad wanted to kill my mom because they had tubes in me. But my paternal mom that y'all heard me talk about at this moment came to the hospital. I was 4 pounds and 8 ounces, and every day she begged them to let me come home. When I got the 5 ounces, 5 pounds, excuse me. When I got the 5 pounds, they let her take me. She'll tell you the story today if she could, that she used to put me in a shoebox in the car and ride me around. I took my hat off so I could make it plain. They call me Kojak as my family name. She loved me as if though she had birthed me. And I just didn't understand. Because on my birth certificate, it says she was 43. Kids are cruel in school. I went to school and they would say, ooh, your grandma take care of you. Then they would call me little faggy boy punk. And so I wanted to fight. I always was a smaller guy, so I felt like I had something to prove. So it was just a minute when I picked up the drug. Watch out, because it's on now. But I only got 1 year to use successfully. And then I decided, this is enough. I took every TV in the house and sold it. My mom came home. She said, I can't take this. I went in her room, got an Advil bottle, went in my room, put on the gospel music, and took 12 pills. But I knew she would panic, and she called the ambulance. And that was the first time I would go to detox. I want to say thanks to H&I. I think I've had every service position at earlier level as of yet, I believe. Because when I got around this time, I needed to say. I needed to survive those feelings of abandonment. I needed to survive those feelings of, I don't know where I come from. Because that mom, my biological mom, died when I was 19. And my dad refuses to accept responsibility of me. This is where I introduced God into my situation, because even if that's too far of a concept, good orderly direction was working in my life even before I wanted to recognize it was working. And so I had those occurrences when I was little that mom said, it's going to be all right. Mom says, you're the perfect little boy. Yeah, I could always dance, and they always applauded me and cheered me on. And I did well in school because I was still a teacher's additions and come home and play school because I wanted to be a teacher. And I had a little small network of friends. I lived in a schoolhouse apartment, but I always wanted more. I marched in the marching band. Yeah, I did those type things, but they didn't give me enough, because that emptiness, when my mom and my dad finally showed up at therapy, what they told me at the end of it was, we can never be together. And to me, that was just separation. I suffered a lot of heartaches with people coming into my life when I was little and then dying or leaving. I can remember my grandfather, he was a drunk, but man, did he look out for me. I mean, he would take me with him, and he would be so drunk, but he would get on the bus, and he would make sure I was okay, and that I knew how to. So I started traveling the streets of Baltimore like 5 years old. I knew how to get around the city by myself. One day, he fell down the steps and bust his head open, and at that time, I didn't know, but they wouldn't let me go see him, and I never got to see him again. Then I would hear the stories later on in life, like, he left them a big insurance policy. I got assisted by my mom, and they said, my mom drunk it away. See, when you got a kid and you hear stuff like that and don't nobody explain it, you start wondering, what's wrong with me? So I thought something was wrong with me. I thought I was different, and for some reason, I just didn't fit in. I'm here to say, today, I don't try and fit in too much, because I know I was born to stand out. See, I came here today and I put this on purpose. I need to say, when I got here Thursday, it was some people that loved me like a family, and they took me out to eat, right? And in that moment, I just kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And as I walk around the convention, I'm just thanking people. And when I walk up to you and I say, hey, sis, hey, bro, just understand, I'm connecting to something that's higher than me. I'm healing in a place that I thought I could never heal from. See, I've heard it said a lot of times, blood is thicker than water, but I need to say the spirit is thicker than blood. If I don't never get the blood family, I can tell you today, I got family. At the symbol at the end, it says the broader the base, the wider the size, the higher the point of freedom. See, I had to come in here tonight and I suffered some disappointment, because there were some people I seen earlier that I said, I got to share, and they said they would be here. But I understand that in this appointment, it was set up to be disappointment. To say, I am surviving. No. I am living through my feelings. See, I'm gonna take you some places real quick, and I hope that you can follow and catch on. I can't really give you too much of my drug log because, man, I used to live and live to use. Very simply. I was that man. Oh, I don't know. Some days I might be a woman. No, I went through that confusing stage for a minute. I ain't know who I was. Today, I'm standing proudly to say, I am me. Accept me as I am or don't. I'm colorful, I'm loud, I'm bright, I'm extra. All those things, yes, it's me. It is. I own it. I wear it. I am the one that'll get real spiritual on you, because I was hurting so bad when I got back this time that I was the one that said, a negative got to be a positive. And I didn't give up on hope because it was the only thing I had. And that freedom, they kept saying it wasn't free, but I was determined I was going to get it. So I'm in registration today to get my packets. And I get a phone call. And in that phone call is my aunt calling me to tell me my mom has been hospitalized again. I just went through it at the top of this week. That she was hospitalized. But see, I gotta tell you the spiritual experience in it when I turn it around and I look to the God of my understanding. And I heard the God of my understanding. Like, my mom has been blessed to live 83 years. And if the 28th of this month comes, she'll be 84. Okay. And she lives in Richmond, Virginia. I left her there. I came back to Baltimore 7 years ago. And I gotta say, this is the place I did it. I packed the last of the things I had. I got in the car with one of my sisters in recovery. We came here, and I transferred cars at the end of this convention, and I gave my last hugs. And my mom was worried at that time that I wouldn't be okay. There were some people that caught me on the other side, and my best friend sitting out in the audience right now, who grabbed me on the other side and refused to let me fall. So that when my mom, right before I came to the convention, was able to make it to Baltimore, because I couldn't make it to Richmond, so that when she got sick, I would be able to show up. And then she was discharged from the hospital. But before she got discharged, I went to see her, and this is what she said. She said, "I want you to go there and have a good time." See, I don't know about for nobody else, but when I thought about it today, standing in line, when they said that everything was going haywire again, I went and grabbed some friends, and I said, "We need to pray, because this is where I need to stay. See, I'm helpless if I go back there. But right here, I got a lot of strength that I can gain. See, this moment wouldn't have happened if I had got back in a car and went back to Baltimore. This moment wouldn't have happened. I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning. I'm surviving. Nope. I'm living through my feelings. They say victim or volunteer. I done played both. But I need to say today I'm living as a victor. See, I'm going to make this one real as I drive you through the last 10 years of my life as fast as I can. I got here, I wanted to stay here, I did anything I had to stay. People had me doing service so much, I said, "I'm finished. I ain't doing no more service." My God still let me know I'm a liar before Him. Every time I say I ain't going to do something, I wind up doing it. I went through 3 relationships, right? And every time we broke up, I was always the one that said, "I ain't going nowhere." One person said, "Yes, you is. Get out." The other person said, "I'm done. I'm going to pack your stuff and put it out." So I got a little more cunning, and I decided to get on the lease. And this time, prayer and meditation had to come into my life real hard. So when I prayed, I heard the God of my understanding say, "Stay." Now, when I came into fellowship and I shared that, it didn't sound practical. Y'all was looking at me like I was crazy. Y'all talking about, "What you stand for?" I said, "I don't know why, but I got to." And so I kept building up. Because see, the king that I have at home, right, when I lost my job, he wouldn't put me out. He made sure I stayed in position so I could get up. And so I stayed there and I went through the emotions. You talking about having to watch a person that you dearly in love with bring somebody else in the house and do them well and then look at you like you're nothing. And you still got to get up and you got to press through it and you feel like Everything about you is not deserving. I'm back in that little child state. See, I gotta tell y'all, there's a little boy in me. There's an adolescent that say, let me out all the time, that wanna just go crazy. And then there's the adult me. And some days, that little boy, I don't know how to nurture him. I don't know how to love him to a new place. But I don't know. Something is happening because y'all love on me so much. Like, I got the job and that wasn't good enough. I got another job and that wasn't good enough. So I got two jobs and then I got another job. And I kept going and the next thing I know, I got a career. And then I got another career. I was like, I'm on to something. Now, I'm saying about the material thing. But I'm for real saying about what was happening on the inside. See, there was a cleaning going on. I wasn't feeling as bad as I used to. I was telling people on the phone stuff like, I'm living divinely blessed and I'm doing extremely well. Let's talk about what God did for you today. And they were sitting there, they was going, uh-oh, he off on a religious zeal. I'm sorry, I don't believe in religion. I just don't. I am more spiritual than anything, but God just made himself real to me. When I ain't have nothing else and everything was gone, he showed up. And when I pressed through and did exactly what y'all said get into the literature. I got into the literature, I got an understanding, I started applying it to my life, some stuff started happening. And once it started happening, I told my sponsor one day, I said, sometimes you got to go through the rude awakenings to get to the spiritual awakenings. But I was determined that I was going to live the impossible. So I mustered up the courage and I stayed beyond the expiration date. And I said, this is going to change. I want harmony. I want peace. I want love. And I want understanding. I got to say, it's there. I got it. Want to know how I got it? I had to remember it begins and it ends with me. So when I didn't want to get vulnerable, I had to go to them and confess. I don't like when you bring your ex in here because it makes me feel some kind of way. And both of us share this lease. I would like the respect enough. He would say stuff like, it's just sex. Okay. I'm going to work through that one. And I said, okay. And then I brought somebody in the house. And their feelings showed up. At this point, I had did some work where I was standing up. And so when they came to me and they wanted to talk about who I brought to the house, I said, oh no, it's not going to work like that. You're going to stop making me feel this little. What I know today, we all fall short. Shortcomings is with us all. And so I started believing the best out of them. So the tables turned. I got a career. And they got suspended off their job. Oh, no. I had to go to prayer and meditation because I thought it was a moment to boast and brag about, hey, yeah, I'm on top now. God said, if you don't practice some humility, I'm going to humiliate you. By now, I know what feelings feel like. So I would get up every morning and I would go tell that king who he was. And I would say, you're going to get up. We're going to get through this. The same God that helped you help me get through, I'm going to be there for you and I'm going to help you get through. I need to say, I had said I wasn't going to pay their car note. I told y'all, God still lets me know I'm a liar. Because remember, I told you, he held me up when I ain't had no job. So the one thing I knew was, if we lost our place to live, he would let me live in the car until we got somewhere else. So I became willing to pay the car note. And at that moment, a breakthrough came through. The money came, and we was able to catch everything up. At that point, he sent me a text, and it said, thank you for being my friend and my angel. We've come to a place today in harmony that we know. Right now, he's not ready for a relationship. I am. And We need to talk about those differences that we try and run from. And we need to face them head on because we are both adults. See, yeah, I don't want to tell you that today I feel vulnerable and I want sex and I'm willing to go out there and pay for it. But then when I pay for it, I'm not willing to say that October 22nd, 1996, I tested positive for the HIV virus and we're getting ready to practice unsafe sex. And the unsafest part about it is, it's not that I may hurt you, it's the fact that I'm willing to hurt me all over again. So I started looking at stuff like that and I started manning up. So I'm walking around the convention and I'm saying stuff like, I'm right. I don't have nobody at this moment. But I need to tell myself that so I don't set myself up for a situation that I need a comeback. See, like I told y'all, I've been coming around for almost 24 years, but I only have 10. And what I've done in that 10, I'm not willing to cash in. See, they taught me that this was a day at a time process. And I've learned some people said some things that I took ownership to. And it's like, to all of us, this day is new. None of us have lived Friday, April 15th, 2016 before. So if I remember that each day is a new day, I will simply get up because the God of my understanding woke me up. And because he woke me up, I don't want to lose that opportunity to do something with it. So I'm going to show up. I'm going to get in the mirror and tell myself, I'm a king. I don't care what nobody else say. I can have a man, a woman, it don't make a difference. But right now, I just want me. And then I'm going to suit up. In the best way I know how. If you ask me how I look, I'm going to say fabulous, gorgeous, handsome, magnificent. Yeah, that's going to be me. And once I've suited up, all I'm going to try and practice in that day is not to mess up. So it's been 7 years since I left Richmond. I'm going to tell you some of the things that have become manifestations in my life because I meditated on it. And then I talked it out my mouth, no matter how crazy I sound, and it became manifestations. I went back to Richmond just a few weeks ago and they had me share at a speaker jam for them. It was the most awesome time I had because it was like going back to say, hey y'all, there is hope. That you can transition from one city to another and live through it, feel through it. I also, like 10 years ago, started writing in this creative writing class while I was in jail. And October of last year, it became a book. See, I don't know where the God of my understanding is planning on taking me, but today I'm willing to go. Because that freedom that I'm tasting, I want all of it. I often tell myself there's 350 million people in the United States and I'm just one. I got a lot of people to meet. I love Baltimore. I love Richmond, Virginia. And they love me. But when we get here to Ocean City, it's not about y'all. I do y'all when we're at home. I need to meet some people. So I am running around trying to find out how many people I can meet. Because I believe that. The broader the base, the wider the sides, the higher the point of my freedom. I don't know where I'm headed, but I see it being somewhere that I'm traveling places. And when I got here this time, I had to learn where people live. So that when I needed to, I could come to your house. See, because I got this thing that I don't like to feed myself. Now, I will take us out to eat. We can get all the food we want. But if I got to cook, it's like, it's over. But I got some people in my life that check me. And they say, are you eating? Are you taking your medication? Because it's been 20 years for me, and I'm living undetectable. But I had to tell my doctor just recently, some days I don't want to take it no more. For real. It gets that real sometimes that I'm tired of feeling like I'm going to be taking medicine for the rest of my life. I am recovering from depression. So I have to get up and I have to, like, when I really blow people's mind, because I be like on this tip that it's going to get better. I told some people, me and him going to live to see better days. They didn't quite believe me, but we got there. My mom, regardless to what happens, I know one thing. A full-fledged amends has happened, and she's seen better days. She's at peace. I'm going to say this in closing, and what I always say. The God of my understanding took me through this passageway, and he told me, I need you to forgive often. What that simply means to me is that I need to forgive it before it happens. I had 6 people that was coming to Ocean City today, and they was all relying on me. They got here right after I finished chairing a workshop, and they was pulling me. They didn't know what I was going through, but in that instance, I said, I got to forgive everything. Because a lot of people forgave me on my journey. The next one was, I need to love endlessly. I love on people so bad. Y'all should have seen me today when I was getting hugs down at the hugs. They gave me the green shirt. I was like, welcome. Can I have a hug, please? And then people gave me hugs. And I wasn't even mad at the ones that kept on going. And last but not least, he said you need to feel everything. I am learning how to feel the hurt. Because I've learned how to heal from some places. So it's not that bad going through it no more. See, I've heard a lot of people say, hurt people, hurt people. I'm here to tell you today, heal people, heal people. So I am living through my feelings. And I am living victorious. I'm going to add a name, Ronald. Thank y'all for allowing me to share.